would be kind and take just a moment to pray with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. And God, again, every time we say it, we feel so inadequate. There's so much more we need to say in light of all that you've done and how well you do it. But we thank you, for we have been taught that it is good to give thanks. And we thank you because you have been wonderful. You have healed us. You have helped us. And Lord, in the language of our grandparents, you hoped us. That hope would not fail. You sturdied us when the storms came. You strengthened us when the fight came. And you soothed us when the battle was over. You laid us in green pastures, placed us beside still waters, told us to rest when we were weary, told us to run and not faint. Thank you. And as we have gathered in this sacred place, this sacred hour, we turn our full and undivided attention to you. We ask individually and collectively, is there a word from the Lord? Will God speak to my condition? Does he even care? Will he see about me? And we know the answer is sure, because you love us. Because you love us. And so, God, again, we just want to hear from you. Speak to us, sir. Draw us nearer. Your voice will rain down upon us with clarity, understanding. Sir, we would see Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And God, I thank you that you've done it before. And I know you'll do it again. Do it now, sir. Let your name be glorified. Lift us higher that we might see better. Position us for purpose that we might make progress now and work while we have the light of day. In Jesus' name we pray. Asking for the forgiveness of every sin, every mercy and compassion that is ours to claim. It is so now. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen. 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 And amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Come on, you can do better than that. That's your rehearsal. Come on, give it to him. I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I will bless his holy name. He's been good to me. He's been better to me than I've ever been to myself. Bless his holy name. Something about the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody love calling that name? Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles, smartphones, tablets, electronic devices. Did you know that today is Bible Sunday? Yeah, today is Bible Sunday. I saw it on my calendar. Bible Sunday. First time I ever heard of it. But it's a good Sunday. But those of us who love the Lord know that every day is Bible day. Bible Monday, Bible Tuesday, Bible Wednesday, Bible Thursday, Bible Friday, Bible Saturday. Some of y'all need to double Bible on Saturday. Amen. But it's Bible Sunday. That's the first time I've ever seen that. Amen. I thought to myself, well, we ought to see how many folk know it's Bible Sunday. None of y'all knew. But it's Bible Sunday. If you will join me in the poetry book of the Bible, the book of Job. There are five poetry books in the Bible. Job is one of them. Job, if you'll join me in the 30th chapter. Job chapter 30. You get to the Psalms, put it in reverse, and you'll back up right into Job and come over to chapter 30. Mm-hmm. If you have your electronic device, you got it. All you got to do is touch it and boop, there it is. And come down to the 30th chapter of Job. And we're going to start our reading at verse 24. Job chapter 30, verse 24. If you found it, would you say, I've got it?
I've got it.
Amen. I hear pages turning. You don't got it. You on your way on Bible Sunday. Amen. Job chapter 30, verse 24. I have a New Living Translation version of the Bible. So if you have something different, we're going to be all right. But let's pay attention as Pastor reads from Job 30, verse 24. Surely no one would turn against the needy when they cry for help. Did I not weep for those in trouble? Was I not deeply grieved for the needy? So I looked for good, but evil came instead. I waited for the light, but darkness fell. My heart is troubled and restless. Days of affliction have come upon me. I walk in gloom without sunlight. I stand in the public square and cry for help. But instead, I am considered a bother to jackals and a companion to ostriches. My skin has turned dark, and my bones burned with fever. My heart plays sad music, and my flute accompanies those who weep. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to go back and look at verse 27 of this particular reading. The New Living Translation again declares, my heart is troubled and restless. Days of affliction have come upon me. Look at your neighbor and encourage them with these words. Tell them, neighbor, it won't always be like this.
Amen.
As I said to you, last Sunday, we were distracted from the follow-up preaching. When this sermon was intended to follow, I'm not backing up and I'm not backing down. But we switched up last Sunday in light of the tragedy in France and tragedies around the world. There were needful things that we wanted to say to a people to encourage them through that darkness. Now I want to tell you that it won't always be like this. Job is one of those people. Ushers, you can rest. God bless you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to forget you. Job is one of those people, one of those characters, one of those mainstays of the Bible that draws our attention. He's one of those people that the Bible makes hard to hide. We've all heard about him in one form or another, one setting or another. We've all heard about Job. Oftentimes, we heard about him when people were making certain statements of comfort or certain statements of exhortation, when they would say things like, well, you'll have to have the patience of Job. Or they would say things like, well, you know, Job had to go through his times and you can make it. You know, so we know him. He gathers our attention because we really get to see his life at its worst. And because we've read the book, we know that we will soon see him at his best. Job proves to us that God is faithful. Job also proves to us that life can be crazy. Most of us in the room are old enough to have already experienced our share of "you've got to be kidding me." If you've lived anything more than 12 years, you've had your share already of "you've got to be kidding me." Life does not follow the script. Ideally, most of us would prefer to have no trouble, no bills, no heartache, no setbacks, no trouble. Even though we know it don't last always, you can keep that for them 10 minutes. All of us would really like to travel on Easy Street, ride high on the hog, and live the life of Riley. Don't know who Riley is, but it must have been going pretty good. But everybody in here, 12 years and older, can say with affirmation and authority, it ain't easy. Jess, I was going to do song time, but I didn't want to go and say it's hard out here for her, but never mind, we're moving on. But the reality is, did I say it anyway? It slipped out. The reality is that we relate to Job more because of his trouble than his triumph. Because rarely in the life of even the most faithful believer does our story turn out like Job's. We don't get our children back. We don't all get double for our trouble. Our latter years are not always greater than our former years. For some of us, the older we get, the worse it seems. But I stand to declare, it won't always be like this. No matter how bad you got it today, God's got a little secret called tomorrow. No matter how many times you fall down, God's got a little thing called getting up. No matter how many times you cry, God's got a little thing called drying of the tears. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, no matter how bad it is, it won't always. Sooner or later, after a while, one morning, it's got to get better, because the God I serve says he'll make a way somehow. I don't know what he's going to do, but can I get three folk to holler back at me, he'll do something. And can I get three other folk to holler back that whatever he does it well. Son, that's how he was.
Job says, I tried to look out for other folk. He said, didn't I cry for other folk? Didn't I feel sorry for my fellow man? Didn't I do the thing that a good neighbor would have done? He said, I looked out for the needy. I was trying to do the right thing. He sounds kind of like Paul a little bit, that I'm trying to live right. How many folk can affirm today that you're trying to live right? That wasn't enough for y'all. Let me see if I can get you to come around. How many folk at least want to admit or try to go public and say you're trying to live right? 7 of y'all still ain't voting. Here's what he says. He said, and he does, watch this now. He does what all of us do. Whenever we're in a bad situation, we try to justify our exit by trying to remember what we did good. In other words, we're trying to say, God, you owe me a way out. Because I've been good. Whenever we look at trouble, we always look at other folk trouble to compare our trouble. And we oftentimes like to say, I don't deserve this. That is what Paul deals with when he talks about the thorn in his flesh. There are three things that I can see when Paul talks about that thorn in the flesh. First of all, you can see that he says, I didn't do it. He secondly says, I don't deserve it. But the last thing he says is that God will deliver. Some of y'all might ought to write that down. That's going to be your testimony when they haul you into the court. Lord, Your Honor, I didn't do it. I don't deserve it, but God will deliver. Y'all can preach that when y'all get a chance. He reminds me of a time that all of us must prepare for. You do know that trouble is coming. Sometimes, Jess, words of those good writers from down south, it was Phil Collins and the boys, he said, I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. That's a gospel song. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Go back and listen to it. If you put "Oh Lord" in it, that's good enough. But he says, I can feel it. And how many of you have ever used that as your testimony to make your stand and say, I just felt like something was going to happen? Come on, talk back to me. How many of you felt yourself prophetic and said, I just knew that something was going to happen? You had a feeling in your bones that third toe from the right was flipping up, and you know, you had a cramp in your hand, you had that tingling in your, how many of you have ever tried to warn somebody, I don't think you ought to go that way, or I don't think you ought to do that, I just got a feeling. Come on now, some of you arthritic folk, some of you folk, you know how you tell folk about that bone in your knee was cracking, you know, but that's how it is for all of us. Most of us saw it coming. Harmony, the tragedy is we couldn't do nothing about it. And that's what Job is saying to us. He's saying, you know, my days of affliction have come. He said, I saw it coming. You remember when he told him, he said, that which I feared the most, that's what got me. That's what happens to most of us, is that we build within ourselves these silent fears. And whenever something happens, it may not be the thing, but if it's closely related, we say, I knew it. Come on, talk back to me. I knew it. I just knew it was going to happen, but I couldn't do nothing about it. It's kind of like when you're falling and try to catch yourself. Well, two problems there. One, you the one falling. That's already bad. And if you fall in, you're not likely going to catch yourself. Amen. Job reminds us of something that Peter says. Job and Peter had never met one another. But Reverend Uriel, they say something that sounds similar. You get over there. You don't have to turn in your Bible. I've already done that for you. If you get over there in 1 Peter around the 5th chapter, you will hear Peter say this. So, after after you have suffered a while. Somebody ought to say, Lord, have mercy. Can I tell you why you're saying, Lord, have mercy? Because whenever, can I move in this one, Jess? I won't song it, I'll move it. Whenever it is written, it will be done. Cecil B. DeMille, Ten Commandments. So let it be written. So let it be done. Whenever the Lord writes it, there's a way that he gonna work it. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Whatever God says, heads up, put your feet down. Because Job says, my heart is heavy because my afflictions are here. Peter says, after you have suffered a while. Nobody's saying it won't always be like this. Because the next thing he says is that after the suffering, the support comes. Y'all ain't shouting like I thought you would. What I'm trying to tell you is you're going to have to learn how to get through it so you can shout about it. There is no shout without a struggle. There is no celebration without calamity. There is no heroes without hell. You got to trust God in all of it. It is a sad Christian that can only jump, shout, flip, and shimmy when things are going your way. The best shout comes in your struggle. The best hand wave comes when you've been shackled. The best dance comes when your feet hurt. Because your God is an awesome God and he will deliver. Reality. Look at your neighbor and tell him, if I get another chance, watch out. If I ever get my joy back, watch out. If I ever get my strength back, watch out. If I ever get the words to that song back, watch out. If I ever get out of here, watch out. I get my step back, watch out. When I start feeling like I used to feel, but better, watch out. Because afflictions come. Can I give you sub point number one? You ain't got to do nothing wrong. You remember Dragnet? When it come on, Melvin said, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. This is your chance to say, that's me, Reverend. You ain't got to do nothing wrong. You just got to live. You ain't got to lie, cheat, cuss, steal. You're already a victim because you live. Paul comes to mind again. Paul says, I got this thorn. He didn't order it. He didn't pray for it. Know what he says, Reverend Dixon? He said it was given to me. And I know who did it. Read your Bible. It was given to me by Satan. Satan, you say? Even in the 2015 church? Yeah. We think we're Teflon and we done outrun the devil? You got to be kidding me. You didn't outrun the devil. You've been doing pretty good for about 3 weeks now, but you do have tomorrow, you know. In fact, some of y'all just messed up your right now. Paul said it was given to me. Why? Not to destroy me, but to develop me. I told you, you're 3 o'clock. I didn't do it. I don't deserve it, but God will deliver. Peter, would you help Paul with this? Sure I will. He said, first of all, always remember, I gave you number one, you know, he said, always remember that whatever God does, it's in his kindness. Right. It's in the text. He said, in his kindness, he has called you to share. Now, watch this, because we like to look at the next line in the sermon of Deacon Davis where it says his eternal glory. But do remember that you can't share in the glory until you've gone through the grief. That's why some of us don't know when to shout in the church, because we have sidestepped every grief lesson and didn't want to get straight to the glory lesson. That's why we can only shout while the song playing. That's why we only dance at the part we like. That's why we only stand up sometime in the sermon, because we like the hoop, hoop, hoop part, but we don't like the hellbound part. Let me tell you something. The best thing that can ever happen to you is for God to knock you down so you can discover that he will pick you up. What do you, Pastor? What? Yes. Why do you think the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son so he can knock him down and pick him up? That's why Jesus said, I'm all right with this, because I know how it's going to turn out. Look at your name and say, neighbor, don't close that chapter yet. I know how this is going to turn out. That's why when we used to watch Batman, they'd say, same bat time, same bat channel. Why? Because no matter what the Riddler, Joker, Mr. Freeze did to Batman, the story was going to turn out the same. Bruce Wayne was going to win. Thank you, Jesus. There is a bat cave in my story. Thank you, Jesus. There's a phone booth for me to change. Thank you, Jesus. I got a hideout somewhere that the devil messed with me in Clark Kent. He gonna end up with Superman. He steal from Bruce Wayne. He gonna have to fight Batman. He messed around with mild-mannered Bruce Banner. I will turn into the Hulk. Thank you, God. I've got an alternate ego just waiting to shine. That's why the old folks say he'll hide me so I can change my clothes. Look at your name and say, let me step into this. Yeah, I'm about finished. He said, well, you do know in his kindness. That's why the Bible teaches us, Minister Tyler, that what the devil means for evil, you do know. Joseph, come here a minute. Can I ask you something? Yes. Was it an inside job? Yes. You do know that somebody in your family might be the one. Don't y'all look at nobody in this festive time of the year. But sometimes the very people that you live with are the very ones, because they know your weakness, they know your habits, they know your comings and goings. They are the ones. But don't worry, honey. That which them means for evil, the Lord can, will, and have set it up for your good. Some of y'all need to text, email, and Instagram some folk right now and tell them thank you. Because what you did to break me made me better. The lie you told gave me life. Oh, I thank you. Because even though I struggled, I survived. Even though I suffered, I'm shouting. Even though you beat me down, he picked me up. Thank you. And so he says, well, now, do understand that after the suffering, nudge somebody on the quiet and say, you're going to have to get through this. Come on. You can't quit. You can't be sitting around like little Sally Walker, crying to the east and crying to the west, crying to the one you love. Ain't nobody want to hear all that crying. I told you, you're going to have to get through this. In the words of many a good great grandma and a good grandma, baby, this too shall pass. In the words of the good gospel writer, it came to pass. What did you? Yes. Trouble shows up to leave.
Trouble knows it's on a temporary lease. Heartache knows it's on a temporary assignment. Everything that is not for our good cannot stay. That's God. God said, I know the plan that I have for you. Tell your neighbor, put your name right there. There are plans of good, plans to prosper. You don't see no detriment there. That's the plan. That's why when it happens, as soon as it arrives, it's already planning to go. That's why the Bible said, I believe it is in the Corinthian letter, preachers, that these light momentary afflictions have come to work out for you a far greater glory. Stop right there. Put your shout ready. Some of y'all are missing your glory because you're trying to avoid this grief. Some of y'all can't get over your afflictions. I'm telling you now that they are light and momentary. They won't stay but so long, but it's working something out in you so that you might give your hands a little more lift. You might give your legs a little more oomph. You might give your shout. Listen, your throat been waiting on a shout. Your lungs been waiting on a shout. Your heart's been waiting on a shout. Some of y'all done denied yourself some good therapeutic work. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, reach down real deep. Think about your struggles. Think about your heartaches. Think about how they lied on you. Think about how you got sick. Think about when you lost that job. Throw your head back and tell him, thank God. You ain't the first one. I'll see to it that you ain't the last. I got to hurry along. He said, well, please understand that it's happened to me. He said, I'm troubled by it and restless. Can I tell you, if you can't get no sleep, work on shout. Since you ain't going to be sleeping, practice your shouting. Practice that little dance you're going to do when you get to church on Sunday. Practice your little speech you're going to give at the testimony service. You're going to be up anyway. You might as well work on getting it grammatically correct. Mrs. Scott will be here that Sunday. And if you don't say it right, she's going to frown at you. You got to dot your I's and cross your T's. You got to be able to enunciate properly so we can understand the God you serve. You got to know how to say Jehovah Rapha. You got to know how to call him Jehovah Jireh. You got to know how to call him Jehovah Nisi. You got to be able to call his name because there's power in that name. There's something about that name. That's the name that got me off my sick bed. That's the name that got me out of my prison. That's the name that even though he divorced me, I still love him. That's the name that brought my children home. That's the name. Anybody know that name? What's that name? I'm not ready. I thought I was ready, Harmony, but I'm not ready. I'm struggling with it. He said, I'm struggling with it. Can I help you, Deacon Davis? Ain't no shame in struggling. How do you know that, Reverend? Because the Bible says he's a very present help in the time of struggling. When you're struggling, the Lord will get on the white steed and giddy on up to your condition. That's why the old folks said he'll come and see about me. You act like ain't nothing wrong, you're going to miss your visit. You need to cough a little louder. You need to hold your head a little taller. Father, Lord have mercy. When you say Lord have mercy, heaven goes on alert. And when you say, come on, Jesus, he said, I'm on my way. When you say, Lord, can't nobody do me like Jesus, he said, baby, you got that right. You can rate Charles that you got the right one, baby. Uh-huh. So he says, I got to hurry. He says, I'm struggling, but I'm standing. I'm going to stay right here and wait on the Lord. Come here, Peter, help us. Peter says, you've got to stand firm and be strong in your faith. Pastor, what is the formula? The formula is not drinking another drink. It's not smoking another doobie. It's not, well, I won't mention everything, but y'all got the gist of where this is going. The formula is to stand firm. Bible puts it this way, having girded our loins, having put on our helmet, tell your neighbor, dress properly, bad weather's ahead. Having put on the breastplate, having sharpened out. See, these are things you got to prepare for trouble. Amen. Because you do know that trouble is coming. Tell your neighbor, don't be sitting around here lazy. Prepare, because you say, having girded up, having gotten ready, we now stand firm. You can't be, come here, Popeye. Popeye says, I stands what I can stands till I can't stands no more. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't make me stand. Why did Bluto always let him open that spinach? If I was Bluto, or Brutus before they changed his name, why did they change his name anyway? I don't get that. I was confused. That's like when they changed Darren's on Bewitched. I was confused. Okay, let me get back here. But anyway, he says, and you got to be strong in your faith. Watch this harmony. You cannot be strong in a faith that you don't have. Say, what? You can't be strong. You can't rely on a resource that is not readily resourceful. When you're in trouble, ain't no time to go looking for faith. That's the time to call up your faith. Peter, help us. Peter said, you got to get strong in it. How? Work in the word, stay in his will, and always worship. That's three right there. You if you keep working that word, it'll work if you work it. If you stay in his will, it'll be done. And if you worship him, he will honor your worship. And he reminded him, he said, well, I got to do that. So then he said, there are three things to understand as to why it won't always be like this. Can I tell you why? First of all, please understand that you must focus always on the promise. What is the promise? The promise is, I will. Put whatever you want after that. God always keeps his promise. Every one of you are evidence to that fact. How many times did you hear the old saint declare, I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave? How many times did you hear the old saints declare that I never would have made it without him? How many times? You do know that you yet still live because of the promise. God said, I will not let the destroyer destroy you. And you know, the devil's been some of y'all friends a mighty long time. But you're still here. Don't act like y'all haven't been